Welcome back to Silk Flowers and
Paper Mache Hearts. This is your host, Eric Hart.
And Ashley Flowers. The summer is coming to an end, and for most of us, that means it's time for school.
So today we decided to chat a bit about taking classes in props or getting an education in props or whatever you want to do at whatever point in your life you are at.
Whether that means going to school or not.
Yeah. So let's start off with undergrads, which I think is where a lot of people kind of discover props and decide that they want to further their education. And they're kind of looking around wondering, like, what classes should I be taking? Because if you're like me, I was going for a Bachelor of Arts in theater, and we did not have any props classes, actually. And I wasn't going for props either. I was kind of going for general scenic design, that sort of thing. So I couldn't take any props classes. How about you, Ashley?
Well, I went to Ball State University, and they didn't have a Bachelor of Arts for my specific degree, which was just a general theatrical studies degree that was actually Bachelor of Science. And we only had two prop classes, I believe. I believe there was a fall one and a spring one. But now that I'm thinking of it, it might have only been one class. But yeah, I took more of the other design and technical classes that were offered because there wasn't a props program at all.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, the general stagecraft class that they have is good, anything that gets you working on stage, but also the ones where you get to go down to the shop and learn the table saw, how to build a flat, use a chop saw. I mean, you're going to get your basic woodworking tools and your basic knot tying and maybe if you're lucky, some welding, although I know that's sometimes a little advanced for undergrads, but...
Yeah, welding wasn't a thing in my undergrad. I remember our technical director did bring out the welder once to give us a little tutorial, and we were all really excited, but it was just for the afternoon, and we never brought it out again because, one, we didn't have the time, nor did we need it for any projects that we really worked on at the time.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a lot of faculty technical directors out there that would rather not have structural elements built by a bunch of undergrads.
That's a valid statement.
So, yeah, sometimes you could do some painting, too, which is helpful. Scenic painting, at least learning the basics of, you know, clean your brush, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I also felt one class that we took was drafting. It was very basic drafting, but I thought that was very helpful because that helped me learn how to read a drawing.
Yeah, I know my scenic design classes certainly helped me a lot because you did the drafting and you did the research, the period research, definitely like breaking down a script into, you know, the needs of the scene, the scenic elements, the prop elements in it, and learning how to do all that, analyze the script. So scene design is usually taught in a lot of undergrads, even in BA and BS programs. Now, if you're going for a BFA, there's probably a lot more options, especially if you're going for a BFA in props, then you got your choice of props management and furniture construction and soft goods and all that sort of thing. Yeah, if you're going for a BFA in props, then you already know you want to go for props.
Now, there's only maybe, what, two or three schools in the States that offer BFAs in props?
Yeah, there's not that many. UNCSA, I think Emerson does.
I think so.
I'm not sure who else. And in a lot of cases, it could be tricky because some of them also have MFAs and props. And in some cases, that's good because you get to work with people who are working at a much higher level. And if you are good at something, you might be able to take grad level classes. In other cases, it's not as good because the grad students might get all the choice assignments and you're left with a lot of the really basic kind of stuff. So a BFA program where there's no graduate students means that you're responsible for taking care of all the production needs and you can really like rise to the top and do some high level work where you might get overshadowed in a program that has grad students.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that was kind of nice about my undergrad is, one, there wasn't a specific props program.
Mm-hmm.
We did have prop masters for all the shows that we did. And usually it was a designer that just kind of was given that assignment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So for the few people that really wanted to do props, it was kind of nice because you kind of got more control over the project than you would if you were surrounded with so many people who are wanting to do that main focus. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And so that was a lot of fun. And I feel like that's kind of where I learned the most was doing the shows. Because there wasn't a specific classes really focused on that in detail.
Mm-hmm.
But also I felt that working in the scene shop for my work study helped me a lot. I felt that I learned more about the tools there and how to build and everything by just working in there that I probably wouldn't have gotten if I just did the stagecraft class.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very important for anybody who's, you know, starting out in classes and stuff is, yes, your classes are going to teach you a lot and you should take all the information you can from that. But you also need to be doing more than just that. You know, if you do have an opportunity to work in the shop for maybe just a few hours a week or so, taking that opportunity will benefit you so much. And you will thank yourself later mm-hmm. after that, because you're gonna have more knowledge on the front.
Yeah, it's all the practical kind of knowledge. Like, this is the schedule that a show is built on. And, you know, this is mm-hmm. changes come in during rehearsals and you have to change things on the fly. You're not given information up front. And this mm-hmm. is, you know, the atmosphere during tech week and the pace you have to work during tech week. And this is
uh-huh.
what happens once a show opens and all that little stuff, being able to navigate a theater and the shop space in a professional environment. It's hard to get to put that out in a classroom setting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I went to a liberal arts college. And so I took a lot of classes outside of theater, and some of them helped me out too. You know, there's... Mm-hmm. There's like design history and art history, which is always useful to get that.
Yeah, that's true. Background. I took art history.
Yeah, and period and architecture and even just, you know, basic art theory, like color and
mm-hmm.
color theory and, you know, texture, shape, all that sort of stuff. I tried to take some arts classes in the fine arts department. I know like mm-hmm. sculpting is definitely helpful. Some places do like mold making, and you can sometimes find metalwork and things like that. The trouble I ran into was that they only wanted art majors and art minors taking the arts yeah. classes. And so, mm-hmm. you know, by the time I was a junior or a senior, there was no way I was going to get the credits to be an arts minor. So they just did not want me to really take any of the classes. Mm. So I never had that opportunity. But if you could like jump on it soon.
Yeah, that's kind of the tricky thing too, because you do have all these other classes in other departments that you want to take, but they're there to teach their department, mm-hmm. you know? But also it never hurts to just email the professors and say, hey, I would love to, you know, can I even audit this class? Is that a possibility? Or mm-hmm. sit in just like once or twice, you know? Just asking isn't going to hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially if you can show that you're like serious, that you have a very yeah. specific reason for wanting to take the class, and that you're definitely going to stick with it and you have something to contribute.
Yeah, you're kind of coming up with like a mini proposal for them.
Mm-hmm. I also took, you know, a few like sociology and anthropology classes, which are mm-hmm. helpful just yeah. for understanding character, you know, and learning how to research different cultures and finding out all the little intricacies that make them come alive, which is what props mm-hmm. people have to do a lot of times.
Yeah, I was actually a double major with theater and anthropology for the first 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the end of my junior year, I said, you know, I'm just going to stick with theater now.
Oh, no.
Too many classes. I was like, I can't deal with all these classes again.
Right. I hope you weren't like one class short of.
I was a few classes okay. short because I was putting all my focus on theater.
Right.
But I do have to say those classes were fascinating mm-hmm. to listen about different cultures and everything. And I think that can come hand in hand with props very easily when you're doing a show that takes place in a different area
mm-hmm.
and you have all this little insights of their daily lives and the objects that they would have around the house and mm-hmm. why they were important to them. Maybe it's a religious reason or a cultural reason. I thought that was fascinating to learn from those anthropology classes. And I also took a museum class, which was really cool because at the time I was a little on the edge of, you know, anthropology or theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fascinating of like just the crossover of that sense. You're pretty much putting on a show. There's just no actors and it's just going to be there for a while, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So that was always an interesting thing to learn.
Yeah. One of my classes I took was called Japanese Anthropology Through Film. And so it was actually watching films made in Japan to learn about how their culture changed over time. You know, we started with films from like the 20s and the 30s and moved all the way up to modern times. So it's kind of interesting.
Oh, wow.
The, sort of like the reverse engineering. Somebody else propped and created the sets for these movies, and then we're looking at it to learn about their culture through the props and the sets and the costumes and the, right. you know, relationships of the actors to each other. So,
and you know, anytime I'm watching, I mean, not specifically Japanese films, but mm-hmm. I always find it interesting watching films that are made today or within the past 20 or 30 years or so, but are actually set way, way back when.
Mm-hmm.
I start to ask myself what the accuracy of the props are.
Mm-hmm.
And like, how did they know that was the specific prop for that location, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, how did their research go and everything like that? Sidetrack, but fun fact.
Right, yeah. No, I also took some archaeology classes in the classics department, and, you know, studying some of the artifacts that they have and just how well made and intricate a lot of their clothing and their regular everyday stuff was. It's mm-hmm. always surprising because a lot mm-hmm. of times in these poorly researched films, they kind of mm-hmm. present history as this like simplistic time, and you learn through these, you know, studying these cultures that they could be just as complex as ours, and mm-hmm. their props and costumes mm-hmm. are just as yeah. intricate and well made as anything you would find today, just different materials.
Yeah, I feel like any history class really is beneficial to a props person.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, honestly, anybody in the departments. There's so many little things that we deal with that
mm-hmm.
you got to know it all.
Yeah, yeah.
You're expected to know.
Cool. So for those unfortunate people who are not in undergrad and who have discovered props years after graduating and want to further their education, what kind of opportunities do they have?
Goodness, there's so many. Everywhere there's workshops on something. Mm-hmm. I know Smooth On, a mold making company, does workshops throughout the year. Sometimes they're just like 1 or 2 day workshops or a few days longer than that. They take you through a whole entire project. You get in there, you're making the things, you're making molds. And they teach you all the different techniques that you need and all the products that you can use for this, and describe the products that you are actually going to use for that. Because there's always multiple ways to do one mm-hmm. thing, of course. So I've always wanted to go to one of those. I keep missing them, unfortunately. So
right.
that's the goal for this year.
Yeah. They'll do them at their stores or their mm-hmm. distributors, or people can bring them in to do a demo or something at their college or mm-hmm. Somewhere else. And what I've heard, I've never done one, but what I've heard is they also give you free samples, and the value of those free samples is about the same as the cost of the workshop. So you're kind of mm-hmm. coming out even.
Yeah, you're doing well. Mm-hmm. You're doing well in that front.
But there's a bunch of other stores that give workshops, other
yes.
mold making and art supply stores, especially the big kind of art and craft supply stores will have different workshops
mm-hmm.
In a variety of, you know, skills and materials. So always, you know, you just get on their mailing lists, or you look around at what's within driving distance for you and mm-hmm. see what's going on.
And also, I just learned about this place, I think, last year when I was in New Haven. It's called Make Haven, and it's an art space. And apparently, they have these art spaces, you know, throughout the states. And it's pretty much just a large workshop area. There's maybe a paint room or mold making room. There's a carpentry area. Sometimes there's welding area. There's a 3D printer area, all these different sections of this space that you can go in and you pay like a monthly subscription. I don't know how much it is. It varies city to city. You pay that fee and you have total freedom into this area and just can make whatever you want when the hours are open. And they also do workshops monthly, at least the ones that I have looked at. Mm-hmm. So I always suggest to people, you know, try to find if there's an art space near you and go to it and sign up, because I mean, it's insane the amount of stuff that was at least in New Haven that they have that space. I'm just now in talks with the one in San Diego, and it looks like it's quite as large as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we have a few maker spaces around here. It sounds really similar. It's a lot more like electronics and computer kind of stuff. So you could definitely always find soldering workshops, learn how to solder. Mm-hmm. Learn how to 3D print and laser cut because they have those machines. Mm-hmm. There's usually like knitting and maybe using the embroidery machine because they have computerized embroidery machine. Yeah. And if you're lucky, yeah, they'll have like woodworking or they'll have welding and kind of work your way up from there. I know a lot of them, they'll usually teach the basics and then you have access to the shop to kind of learn the more advanced stuff on your own.
Now, if you can't get to one of these workshops or you don't have the time or something comes up, there's also online ways of learning. My favorite resource is Stan Winston, School of Character Arts. They have a ridiculous amount of videos online. Mm-hmm. And it is full-on projects. I do a lot of mold making, so I watch a lot of the mold making videos. And they do it from step one, prepping your materials, to the very final product. And they go through very thoroughly, describing every single step that they're doing, why they are doing it, what materials they're using. Sometimes they'll say, you can get this at Home Depot for $19.99. You know, they like already know the price and everything. You're like writing it down very quickly. But they're usually like, they can be 6, 10, 12 hours long. Because I mean, it's a full on project. But they also do puppet videos, little Arduino videos. I mean, they literally have practically everything up there. That does cost. I don't know the price offhand, but we can get that information to you later. But that's one of my favorites.
I've drooled over their list of classes before because it's like animatronics and it's painting and creatures. And since it's Stan Winston Studios, it's like learn how to build an animatronic dinosaur by the guy who built animatronic dinosaurs for Jurassic Park. I mean, these are industry heavy hitters. These are people like with a wealth of experience sharing it with you. And it's always been the prices that have put me off. I know there's like a couple trial size ones and a couple monthly ones, but to get the unlimited is at least a couple $100 a year.
Yeah, it is pricey, but I do have to say, if you have the money, do spend it, because it is, in my opinion,
it's cheaper than going to college.
It's very cheaper than going to college. And cheaper than buying every single video, too, because you can buy individual videos.
Yeah, you could get them on a DVD, I think.
Yeah.
And for especially if you're not out in Los Angeles, you know, and you can't travel out there.
I don't know if they do workshops or not. I bet you they do.
I feel like some of the videos seem like they had people in the audience, maybe. I don't know.
So on some of the videos, I don't know exactly how. I'll get some more information for y'all later. But you can kind of live stream it and be an audience. So you can be at home watching him doing it and ask questions in real time. Mm-hmm. And the idea is, you're doing it with him if you have the materials, or you're there to really like absorb everything, ask the questions, and then do it right afterwards is kind of the idea. But there's only, I think, maybe 3 or 4 people involved in that. You know, it's not like a huge wide thing. It is limited.
Right.
But I'll look into that and get you guys that information.
I don't know that. I don't think there's anything like that for theatrical props specifically. Mm-hmm. I've heard of a couple places trying to start out that sort of like subscription based video long distance learning. And one of them was actually talking with me about getting some prop classes out there, but I just did not have the time.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So it's, yeah, I don't know that any of that ever got off the ground. That's kind of the only one that's the closest one to our industry that I could think of. Everything else is going to be like learn woodworking from a woodworker to build, you know, tables for your house or things like that, or learn sewing for somebody who wants to learn how to make clothes or that sort of thing. They're not specifically going into like theatrical application. So you kind of have to learn, you know, the skill you want and then figure out how to do it quickly and cheaply for theater or film or whatever you're working in.
I think, and do correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that I heard that USITT is gonna start doing tutorial videos that are like 10 to 15 minutes long, and people can, teachers can tape themselves teaching something for about 10 to 15 minutes and put it up online for people to download for some small
fee. I think I did hear that they're interested in that, and they might have started piloting it. Again, you know, the thing is trying to find people have the experience and the ability to teach and the video equipment and editing skills to make the videos and the time to put all this together. I mean, that's a lot, especially if you're spread out all over the country and you're like trying to get it all scattershot. I think that the, you know, the strength of Stan Winston is they have this massive community of people already there and the shop space. And they just kind of set it up as this whole side business instead of trying to piece it together from like 100 people around the country.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if it is successful or not. I think it could be great and a great resource for students, well, for anybody, honestly.
Yeah.
But I, like you just said, it is kind of hard because that's a lot to ask for. And also, who are you asking to do these videos?
Right.
You know, is it a free for all, or is it, are we being selective about it?
But even if they just recorded their sessions at their conferences, I mean, that would give them a lot of content.
That's true.
But speaking of USITT, a lot of people forget this, but they have regional chapters. And so besides the national conference, which only happens once a year, there's these regional groups that might get together like two or three times a year. And a lot of them will do master classes. So I know I'm in the Southeast region, and right around now, which is August, they're having a weekend of master classes. And so it's not as far for everybody to travel who's in the area, and not as expensive. And it's just sort of classes, not all props related. It'll be all technical theater. So it's like they get a couple of the cool moving lights that you can learn how to work with, and, you know, maybe some scenic painting classes, maybe, you know, a variety of things. But it's definitely a chance to get your hands on these materials and actually work with people who know how to work with them. So you're not just kind of, you know, blindly blathering around in your shop,
trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yelling because you don't.
Glue boiling over your stove as things catch fire.
Burn it all down.
Yeah. Which I think is what happens if you do all your lessons from YouTube. I mean, it's great, and you can find a lot of good information on there, but you could also find a lot of wrong information, or just a lot of information that's presented so poorly that it's almost useless. And unlike a lot of these places that are set up to be like video schools, you could find one good video on YouTube, but you're not going to find like the next step of the process. You know, you're not going to develop a whole learning program. You're going to have to piece it together from all these random videos.
Yeah. There's not full on courses or stuff like that.
Yeah.
I do have to say, Adam Savage, though, has a really good YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And does one day projects and has episodes fully focused on one material or something of that sort. And that's a really good resource that I like to use as well.
Yeah, there's definitely some good stuff up there. It's definitely, it's useful for like the shorter, quicker, like I need to learn one specific technique. as opposed to like I'm developing a program of study to become a well-rounded props person.
Exactly. And like you said earlier, you have to be careful because sometimes you'll get information that one is not safe or two takes you a million years when it could have taken 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Or just is wrong. I hate saying that, but sometimes there are wrong answers. I was told in undergrad by a professor, and I'll never forget this, there are no right answers, but there are wrong answers. And I was like, that is so true. That is it. There are a million ways to get the right product that you need. There are wrong ways.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I saw a video once. A guy was mixing two-part resin to cast with, and he got some on his hands. He wasn't wearing gloves. And so he licked it off.
No.
Yes. It's like, whoops, got a bit on my hands. Better just, okay.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh, that's awful. Like,
yeah. You don't want to learn from that guy.
Oh, and one other website that I have found helpful. I haven't used it as much as I would like to, but lynda.com. Now, they have more of a course structure. And there's a lot of how to use AutoCAD. And there's several videos showing you how to step-by-step make a flat on AutoCAD or do Photoshop and how to retouch a photo. And I mean, these are intense, long episodes. So you really are getting as much information as you want and need. And it also takes you from, you know, the beginners up to the experts, which is amazing. Once again, that is for a fee a month. And I'll look up that fee. We'll get all this information to you on our website, so you'll have that. Yeah, I think those are kind of the main online ones that I use. What about you? Do you have others, or you think that's kind of what you use as well?
Yeah, that's basically it. I find forums have a lot of the specific information when you're looking, trying to find something out. But I usually don't do much education online.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky.
Yeah.
Because you want to be there with somebody who knows what they're talking about.
And can sort of, instantly see if you're doing something wrong or right.
Yeah.
And you kind of, you know, you need the materials and the tools to just know what it feels like. Because no matter how well somebody describes it, you're just, you're like, is this cottage cheese or is this ricotta cheese? Is this the right consistency yet? Or do I keep mixing it, you know?
Yeah.
What do they think thick means?
And it's also great for, I've had this happen to me many times. I'll be building something and I think, well, I don't know how exactly what my next step is. Let me try to brainstorm, which is good. But then I'll start down a path and a teacher will come over and be like, don't do that. This is a bad idea. This is what's going to end up happening. You're like, oh, okay, cool. You know, just having somebody be like, I've already tried that. It failed. This is what happens. You know, it saves you time, you know.
Right. And also a lot of times with, you know, you're reading something or you're watching a video and somebody's doing something in a very specific way. They're like, I use this and I use this and I use that. And you just want to be able to ask, like, do you need to use only that or are there other options, you know? And just like, it's like, what things can I change and improvise and what things are you doing because it's the only way that works?
Correct. Yeah.
You know, being able to like ask questions while something's going on is very important.
So we started talking out about BA, BFA, BS, a little bit of grad school. And then we started talking about classes that you don't take at a university. So let's ask the big old question. Do you need grad school or do you not need grad school for a props person?
And I think we should start off by saying, like, I actually went to grad school and left before I got my degree. And then you
did not go to grad school. I like to say I did a 1 year and done situation because I just did a props internship at Yale where I got to take some classes, some grad classes, but I wasn't actually a student. I didn't complete a 3-year MFA or anything like that. It was just a year internship, take some classes, work in the prop shop, And then I got a certificate at the end, so that was fun.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, but, I think, yeah, we can definitely say the grad classes, you know, absent everything else, the money it costs, the time it costs, all that sort of thing. The grad classes are actually extremely helpful because unlike undergrad, they're very focused. It's usually only like, it's large blocks of time, only a few times a week, as opposed to like an hour every day. And so it's incredibly in-depth. The classes are really small. I mean, no school is going to have more than like three or four grad props people. And a lot of places don't have props as a grad program, but you can do some props work in a more general program. But it's, you know, the big thing with grad school is the cost and the time. It's 3 years of your life. And you can do absolutely nothing else. You know, you're going to be working like 23 hours a day, every day. So what's helpful is knowing exactly what you want to do in your career and exactly what you want to get out of grad school. Because unlike undergrad, you don't have time to figure things out. You can't dabble in other classes or sort of, you know, change your mind halfway through. You kind of have to go in with like a clear plan of like, these are the skills I have to get. These are the experiences I need to have. And I only have 3 years to get it. So if you're very, you know, if you know exactly what you need and you know that grad school is the best place to get it, then yes, it's very helpful. I mean, I've, you know, what's tricky is that most of the, props people of the former generation, you know, before we had a lot of grad programs, none of them have grad degrees because they weren't around and they're all working now. And what happens now is you have a lot more people getting grad degrees. And so they're getting the, you know, nice props jobs, the full-time prop jobs, the regional theater prop jobs. And so, you know, where you might have people saying, no, you don't need a grad degree. What they don't realize is happening is that people of the age to go to grad school are starting to enter the market and flood the market. And eventually there's not really going to be that many props jobs available to people who don't have grad degrees. So it's a little, it's a bit of a catch 22. You absolutely can get work without a grad degree. In fact, there's a lot of places you can get work.
Definitely
in the film world, the TV world, the commercial world. I mean, it's kind of regional theater that has more of the grad degree people that I see.
And like you said, I mean, the classes are extremely, extremely helpful. And I mean, I definitely learned so much from those classes because they're so much, because they're so more intense and more detailed oriented. For example, the costume classes that I took at Yale compared to the introduction to costume that I took at Ball State University. I mean, in the introduction one, you're learning how to sew a straight line or make a little pocket, you know. But then when you're in this grad class, you're making a full-on outfit, you know. Now, of course, that was different in undergrad for the costume design majors. But if you're wanting to be a props person, you probably aren't a costume design major. So getting those skills later is very helpful.
And I know a lot of people say they want to go to grad school because they want to teach. And that's certainly true that you need a master's of fine arts to be a faculty member at most universities. Not all. But the rub of that is that there's very few places that have faculty props people. They'll usually have them as a staff position and they're not teaching classes because they don't have a props program. So... they'll like maybe teach one or two, you know, workshop style classes where they're not the faculty of record. So they could be a staff member. So it's kind of like, yes, you need an MFA to be a faculty props person, but there's not really that many jobs to be a faculty props person. So.
And I've also heard, and this could be wrong, so do correct me, that some universities actually allow non-MFA people to be on faculty, but that is determined on how many years of experience they have in that specific field and the balance, I guess I should say, of the rest of the faculty in that department.
Yeah, it really depends on the school. I know where my wife teaches, they absolutely will not allow anyone that doesn't have a terminal degree to teach. So me, with my experience, I can never adjunct a class there, even just like a basic class. And then, but where I'm teaching now, UNCSA, they allow you to be accredited according to your experience. So they were able to go in and take all my experience, and I'm allowed to teach undergrads. At the moment, it's a lot more paperwork, and I just, I guess I don't have as much experience for them to attempt to accredit me for teaching graduate students. So I can teach them, but not in classes that count towards their degree, if that makes sense. Yeah. And I would guess that I would qualify, but it's just because it's so much paperwork for them on their part. And I sort of said, like, yeah, I'm going to finish my MFA, or don't worry about that. But yeah, it really depends on the school and what their rules are. And a lot of it usually comes from other departments because, you know, in the biology department, they're like, well, we all need to be doctors. So why doesn't everybody in your department have to have a doctorate? And they're like, well, we don't have doctorates in theater design. Our the terminal one is an MFA. It's like, well, then you have to have at least that.
Right.
And so, yeah, like, you know, there's people who are like immensely qualified and who absolutely cannot teach at certain universities, which is, you know, kind of, it's funny to us, but for them, I guess they make sense.
The bureaucracy up there. Well, guys, that is all the time that we have today, but thank you for listening in, and make sure to follow us on Twitter at Silk Mache, and you can email us with questions or ideas for future episodes at propspodcast@gmail.com. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes to listen to more. And this has been another episode of Silk Flowers and
Paper Mache Hearts with your hosts, Eric Hart
and Ashley Flowers. We'll see you next time.
Bye.